I want to speak to you along this line of the Great Commission, and sad to say that a lot of churches and a lot of individuals, it's become the Great Omission. And missions has always been a part of my life. I grew up in a church that focused on worldwide evangelization. Worldwide missions. I had an opportunity as a young child to be around missionaries. One of my uncles, Brother Jim Whitted, for many years I did not get to see him because of his 20-plus years in the land of Scotland. He was a missionary, a church planter in Scotland. My cousin spent some time in Scotland, as her husband was also a church planter. I grew up mowing the grass of one of the greatest missionaries that I've known, and he is very well loved, and he went on to be with the Lord many years ago. But Dr. James Stewart, a fellow Scotsman that spent many years in Europe. At one time, it was going to be a professional soccer player, and God gloriously saved him. After World War II, or during World War II, he spent some time in a concentration camp in Hungary, escaped out of that, but went on to be one of the great missionaries of our time. Other missionaries I grew up around, Brother Jimmy Rhodes, from down in Brazil. I guess he's in his 80s now. And my wife and I was thinking, I don't know if he's already passed away, but probably started over 200 or 300 churches in the country of Brazil. So missions has always been a big part in my life, and I've tried, as we started this church, to introduce and to keep it before our hearts and our minds. So here in Matthew chapter 28, we have what is known. Christ gives His disciples what He expected from them and us today in His absence. He said, I want you to go and teach all nations. First of all, He said, all power. That word power speaks about authority. He said, all authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Because He has that authority, He says to the church, to us as believers, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe. There's that the word there, teach all nations. That would be evangelize. And then after they've been born again, they're saved. Brother Daniel and I were talking about these this morning, as there's different groups that believe that, some even believe that you can be half saved until you're baptized, and then you're fully saved. And I even had a good friend of mine over in Metlakatla that came to me, and he'd gotten saved in a workplace a situation, come to know Christ on the job. Somebody led into the Lord, and the first church he came in contact with was with a Church of Christ. And of course, some of them, they believe that in baptismal regeneration. And he said, preacher, he said, if you'll explain to me, he said, is it possible to be saved before you're baptized? Of course, the very first thing that comes to my mind is the thief on the cross, where Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't get a chance to get off the cross. I believe as a child of God, if he had had an opportunity, he had to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. But baptism is not, I'm a Baptist, but baptism is not a way to heaven. It's not a way to heaven. If you'll go to heaven, it'll be through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of the cross. But he says, teaching all nations, that's evangelizing, and then you baptize them, and then there's discipling in verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded unto you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So Christ gives his disciples what he expects of them and us today in his absence. Now, Christ had told these same disciples directly and us indirectly, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go," he says, "I will come again and receive you unto myself. And there ye may be also." You'll be where I am. There you may be also. So these same disciples have heard that Jesus was going away. Now they're standing just prior to him ascending back to heaven. And Jesus tells them, this is what I want you to do. While I'm gone, I want you to go and tell the world about this saving grace. So Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 has been known and been called the Great Commission. And has been the church's marching orders. Marching orders. Now, we sing that song, and I know what it's signifying, hold the fort, for I am coming. But I believe the church ought to be outside the fort walls and taking the battle on the battlefield. We're to be charging hell, the gates of hell. The Bible promises that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. But we receive our marching orders, and since Christ's ascension, and it's still in place today. These are the same orders that we are to follow until he returns. It's sad to say that many, many churches, many individuals, and even whole denominations, this Great Commission has become, in some part, a great omission. They just kind of put it on the back burner. They like to talk about it. I was in many churches in my early days of ministry, going around the country, and Sister Hannah can probably testify to the same thing. Just because they have Missionary Baptist on the sign does not necessarily mean they support missionaries. I was in one part of the country, and I said, if you're not going to support missions, please do the community, do everybody a favor, and remove the portion of your sign that says Missionary Baptist Church. Just call yourself Baptist Church. And really not Baptist, because I believe Baptists are mission-minded people. But just because they have a steeple, just because they have a building, just because they have a name on the church sign says missionary, doesn't mean that they're involved in missions in any shape or form. So many churches, many people, individuals, and whole denominations, when it comes to the Great Commission, it's become the great omission. The early church took the Lord's command very serious, very serious. In fact, when they went to the different places, everywhere they went, they preached the gospel. The same gospel for which the Apostle Paul said over in Romans 1 and verse number 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Everywhere they went preaching the gospel. They went sharing the gospel. They went telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of the preaching of the gospel of Christ, the power of God, you cannot have any success if you get away from the gospel. Because the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation. And because of the preaching of the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, Paul and these early disciples is said to be described over in Acts chapter 17. In verse number 6, they were coming into the area of Thessalonica. And those said, they said this of the disciples of the Apostle Paul, "These that have turned the world upside down." These have come in. These are those that are everywhere they go, they're just upset and they're turning everything upside down. Because the gospel changes. The gospel changes lives. The gospel takes dead, cold, dried up sinners on their way to hell and makes them alive. Amen. It changes things. And they were known as these that turned the world upside down. I found out some things very interesting not too long ago. In 2012, the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, I have some Southern Baptist roots. A lot of people recognize my accent, that I'm not from around here. Because I'm from the South and I'm a Baptist, they associate me with the Southern Baptists. I am Southern and I am Baptist, but I'm not a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm an independent Southern Baptist, I guess you want to call it. But in 2012, the Southern Baptist Convention approved the using of the name Great Commission Baptist as an alternative name for their convention of churches. They're known as the Southern Baptist Convention. Since the 1800s, they've been known as the Southern Baptist Convention. Perry was sharing with Brother Perry. Perry's been a part of the Southern Baptist Convention or churches. And we were talking about missionaries, and he's one that said in a lot of those churches, he never really saw missionaries. And they would take up a yearly mission offering called the Lonnie Boone Christmas offering, if you're a part of the Southern Baptist Convention, you send in a portion of your yearly income or the yearly tithes to the what they call the cooperative program, and it funnels down and funnels. I think it's about 3 cents out of every dollar finally reaches the missionary on the field. But I'm not bashing them. I'm not bashing anything. I just by way of information, I want to give you that. But they said we want to start being called the Great Commission Baptist. One older preacher who objected to changing the name or altering the name, he said we shouldn't be too worried about being called Great Commission Baptist. We should be Great Commission Baptist. It's one thing to be called something, and it's another thing to be something. I want New Hope Baptist Church here in Craig, an independent Southern Baptist, if you want to call it that. I want us to be known as a Great Commission Baptist. I want people to know when they come to New Hope and they come into the church. It's not very, doesn't take very long. I've had people to comment, and for several months we put up this new bulletin board. We didn't have the pictures, and we wanted those pictures. And thank you, Hannah, for getting those up there, because it reminds us that we support missionaries. We pray for missionaries. We love missionaries. We send out of our own church. I mean, when you have a desire and a heart for missions, it catches with the people. We've had Sister Julie to go on several mission trips. Sister Wendy went to Uganda on a mission trip. Brother Jay just got back from Tanzania. And getting ready probably to go back. There's a burning desire in his heart to go back as a short-term mission. And I pray that it'll become a full-time. Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful for New Hope Baptist Church to have one of ours? Amen. To go out of here. as a missionary on a foreign field. It's one thing to support and pray and have these others, but I tell you what, it's something else when one of yours, one of ours, one of our own children. I know that scares moms and that scares daddies, but I tell you what, I couldn't think of a better thing. I would even desire if my son was to resign from the military and get in the Lord's army. I mean, I wouldn't cry. I'd just rejoice. But it's one thing to send them. And I believe we should be a part of this great commission. Remember what Paul said of the church in Rome, Romans chapter 1 and verse number 8, when we first started studying the book of Romans. Paul said, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all." He's talking to the church at Rome. He never had been to Rome. He doesn't know them. He hasn't seen their website. Brother Daniel introduced me to his home church, their website. I feel like I know a lot of the folks. I went to that website and I looked and I saw their youth program and I saw their bill. I saw their pastor. I even saw Daniel in a few of those pictures. Paul had never seen them, but he said, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." What a testimony. How was their faith, I believe, spoken of? I believe it was through the missionaries that they sent out. I believe they were a missionary sending church. Now, we're going to go look at a portion of Scripture. If you want to turn there, you can go ahead over in Romans chapter 15. I spent all day yesterday, and my wife came in last night. She went out with some of the ladies. They had a ladies' night out went and I don't know what they did, but they had fun. It was wholesome. It was wholesome fun. It wasn't anything wrong. But she came in and she said, "You still in your study?" And this portion of Scripture just popped out and come alive. And God gave me some things I never have. I'll be honest, I never had seen it before. I've been preaching 20 plus years, 25 years, something like that. Is that a sign of getting old? I forgot how to do math. A long time. And I've seen some things. I want to share them. I won't be able to get them all. We'll come back tonight and finish or try to finish. But we may be here for just a little while, especially this month. Everywhere they went preaching the gospel. And it is a number of churches. If I was a member of a church that did not have an active role in supporting and praying and sending missionaries around the world, I would find one that did. I would affiliate with one that had a mission program. Some of you have been a part of churches that did not have an active and a thriving a missions program or support. And you've actually experienced, since you've been coming to New Hope, a blessing and had a part in giving. And boy, I tell you what, it just thrills my heart. It really does. When we had Brother Josiah, I don't know what the final total was. It was probably around $4,000 came out of this local church. We even gave a love offering to purchase a piece of property, to help purchase, to plant another church. Don't you know that we're going to be known around the world? And we're not doing it for the fame. We're not doing it for that. But they're going to say, Brother Josiah is going to say, a church way back in Alaska, and they're not even going to know where Alaska's at. And then they're going to look for the town of Craig, and they won't find it on the map hardly, because it's at the end of the road. But there was a group of people. By the way, an individual, if I said this, if you're not a part of a Bible a missionary supporting church. I'd find one. And by the way, an individual cannot fulfill the command of the Great Commission outside of the local New Testament church. They might be able to be a part of a mission program or one, but to fulfill the Great Commission, what was the Great Commission? To go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, by myself, take me out of this church, where can I go? Wherever my 2 feet can take me. That's the only place. But I cannot go to the world. But through a mission program, here we are. Oh, we are in Silhouette, Alaska. Brother Starr, 35 years as a missionary. Was in Kodiak. Now he's down, or not Kodiak, Fort Yukon. Now he's down in Arizona, working among the native people there. Brother Sam Grammer, 40 years among the Navajo and the Apache people. What a great group. One of the churches supports us and gives regularly to our little radio ministry. Every month they send a gift. Every month they give toward that. Oh, what a blessing that was. Brother Stanchfield there in Idaho. The Millers down in Peru. How many of you been to Peru? If you've been supporting the Millers, you have. Amen. I'm almost a Peru, whatever. But here, we've got all the Huckabees in Africa, Uganda. Brother Josiah in Kenya. Here's one, a little orphan there in Uganda who may one day be a preacher. Brother Lester's been to Australia and then to British Columbia, now back to Australia. The Muldoons, who wants to go to New Guinea? Oh, bless his heart. Him and his wife, he left here as a 60-plus-year-old man and said, I'm going there. This is my last hurrah. He said, told his family, don't worry about bringing me home to bury me. He said, they're going to bury me in New Guinea. What a blessing all of this is. And then there's Brother Solomon there in India. And then the McGahads. I'd love to, if you pray real hard, I'd love to bring Brother Jimmy. He's never been to this church. He's never been here. But we've loved him and prayed for him, doing a tremendous work in Nepal. Of all places. And then there's Brother Charles Long taking the gospel behind prison bars around the world in America, where drug addicts and rapists and murderers are hearing the gospel and getting born again. I want to get them saved before they get out. Amen. You talk about what do they do when they... Rehabilitation. Thank you, honey. You cannot. Project Nehemiah, Israel. Oh, Brother Randy Bain, missionary evangelist. He's been to the Amazon. He goes to places where they can't afford to bring in a special speaker. But he, through churches like us, send him to the Amazon. Oh, my good. Other places. Egypt, other places. Saudi Arabia, France, everywhere. Fellowship Tract League. Those gospel tracts are distributed free of charge around the world to missionaries. And billions and millions of them going out. All of that is done by 45, 50 people. Right here at the end of the road. In a local New Testament church. The pillar and ground of truth. I don't know about you people, that excites me. To be a part of God's work in God's vineyard. Who had ever thought a little bunch of people, a bunch of nobodies? That excites me. It excites me. Let me go on. I ain't going to get to my first point. I'm just in my introduction. The word commission. I mean, just Fred, I can do you don't follow these anyway. you don't follow them anyway, so I'll just erase it right here. Let's see if I can write. I hope I spelled it right. Yeah. There's the, what's that right there called? C-O-M. A prefix. Prefix. And then here's the rest of the word. Missions. The word commission has biggest part of it is mission. Think about this. The prefix means with, together, jointly. You can't do that as an individual outside of a local New Testament church, because you have to be with and together and jointly working with somebody. Missions. The word missions means a particular task or goal assigned to or assumed by a person or a group. It's a military or scientific term, operation or expectation. A body of persons sent. That's what commission. Together we're sending. Together we're going. Together we're giving. Together we're praying. So I told you to go to Romans chapter 15. And just the next few minutes, let me look at a few verses here. Let's drop in, as old brother Les Feltic always said, when he didn't know where to start, he just said, let's drop in. Let's drop in at verse number 14, Romans chapter 15. Do you realize that this epistle is really a missionary letter? Now, he's writing to a church, epistle, to a church in Rome. But I found out in this chapter, and we'll probably look at it in closer detail tonight, it's actually a missionary sending a letter to another church and asking them to participate and be with him in a mission trip that he's going on. I never had seen that. In all the years, Hannah, you was raised, brought up in a missionary family. She's what we call an MK, missionary's kid. You probably heard your share of mission messages, but I've never heard anybody ever take Romans 15 and talk about missions out of it. And I want to try to show you some things. I might be scattered, but I want to try to give it to you as the Lord revealed it to me. Paul gives us some identifiable marks of a church that were not omitting the Great Commission, both Paul and the church at Rome. So we're going to look at that in these verses. First of all, I want you to note that they focused on the most important thing while doing many good things. They focused on the important things while doing many good things. Look at verse number 14 in Romans chapter 15. The Apostle Paul said, "And I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren," and he's writing to the church at Rome. He's never seen them. He's never been there. He says, "that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless," now you and I would probably in our day would say, "but." He said, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that has been given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." I said that Paul and this church in Rome, who he's writing to, they were an individual and a group of people, a church that were focused on the most important things while doing many good things. And Paul said there in verse number 14, Paul said that he was persuaded. He was persuaded that the church in Rome was doing many good things. There in verse number 14, they were full of goodness. He says they were full of goodness. They were filled with all knowledge. They were able also to admonish one another. When you're talking about admonishment, to put in mind, to caution, to reprove gently. We were talking, Brother Daniel and I, and we were talking about this thing of being tactful. It's the ability to reprove gently. Being tactful. You can say the right thing the wrong way. Can I get a witness? Any of us ever said the right thing the wrong way? Yeah, we have. And you want to sell somebody something that will make them come back to you again for more advice. And that's being tactful. That's being tactful. Admonishment. Reproving. And these, it says, also able also to admonish one another. My goal is not to run off people. My goal, I have a hard enough time keeping them. And you know, losing them, you know, by whatever. I don't want to be the cause because I was harsh and did not admonish, not tactful. But this is the church that he's writing to. And Paul said, I'm persuaded. I'm convinced. You don't have to persuade me. I'm already persuaded that you're full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. They were able to instruct. What they believed and what they lived matched up. I used to say, I don't know where I found it or heard it. It's beyond me to make it up because I don't. But if your walkie walkie doesn't match your talkie talkie, what they believed matched what they lived. A lot of churches say we believe in missions, we are mission minded, and yet their actions say otherwise. Note verse number 15. Paul said, nevertheless, I said, we would say, but, you know, he said, you're full of goodness, you're full of all knowledge, and then you're able to admonish, but, or nevertheless, he says, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort. You see, Paul could be bold with this church, because this church was not a baby church. This church is a fully organized, functioning body. I mean, he could be bold with them. He could come out and they're not in their infancy. In fact, I gathered together all of this. They probably, because their faith has been heard of around the world. And Paul said, first, I thank God for you, that your faith. So this tells me they've been established for a while. They have been growing. They have been doing, they've been sending out missionaries. That's how, because they didn't have internet and Facebook. And so people heard about them through their missionaries. Who sent you? My home church in Rome. I'm a missionary. Their faith was heard of around the world. So many churches, you don't know of them at all. Never knew that they were there. Never heard anything out of them. It's a sad state. And it's probably because they do not have a mission program. So Paul, he could be bold, and this was not a baby church. They're full of goodness. They had all knowledge. In other words, their theology and their doctrine was right. They had all knowledge. Notice Paul is not giving anything new here to them. There is no new ideas on the table. People that come to you and come to me from time to time, I get in the mail, they got something new. Well, if they only read the book of Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, it might be put in a different package. Paul's not giving them anything new. There's no new ideas here. He's reminding them, verse number 15, he says, as putting you in mind, reminding you, because of the grace that is given unto me of God. Do we understand, and I want, if we get nothing else today, I want you to get this. Do we understand that the good can be the greatest danger to the best or to the most important thing in our lives? As individuals, as families, listen to me. Fathers, mothers, listen to me. The good can be the greatest damage or the greatest danger to the best. In the local church, the good can be the greatest danger to what God wants best in our life. Let me explain that. So Paul, in this epistle, is reminding the church at Rome because of the grace of God. He says there in verse number 15. And then look at verse 16. He says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Did you know that the word Gentiles, there in verse number 16, is the same word translated nations in the Great Commission? It's the same word. The same word. So we could say, as he says in verse 16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the nations. To the nation. What did he say in the commission in Matthew's gospel? Go into all the world. Go into all nations. Now, we have the same word here. Now, as I was pouring over my Strong's and looking at it, I just recognize this. The same word is used. And it's amazing here. It means a race that is a tribe, specifically a foreign, maybe a foreign, non-Jewish. There's how many Jewish nations? One. How many Gentile nations? Huh? Yeah. We've got a big task. We've got a big task, church. We're to go into all nations. Non-Jewish. One, usually by implication, pagan, Gentile, heathen, nation, people. That's what it means. It means people or people groups. Persons with a distinct language. We just read, maybe I shared it with you, I don't remember. There in South America, I think it was South America, some people came out of the jungle. Did you read that story? Maybe you read, came out, and they think that they've the first time they've ever seen white men. They've seen the outside. They have no record of them ever existing. And they have a distinct language, a distinct culture. They were coming out because of the forestry that was going on, the cutting of timber, and one thing or another, they were losing wildlife in their game, and they had to come out. And they traded with them some machetes and some cooking utensils and some different things. But they said there is no record of them being a known group of people. You say, well, how long? Yeah, that's amazing to me. That's amazing to me. Now, I want you to listen to some statistics I spent yesterday looking up. These are a distinct language, these people groups, distinct language, culture, identity. That's what Jesus said, go into all nations. Did you know that there are some 16,600 distinct people groups in the world? 16,600 distinct people groups in the world. And over 7,100 are unreached. 7,100 distinct people groups with their own language, with their own identity, with their own culture or unreached. They tell us that almost of the almost 7 billion, I don't know what the population is, I don't know how they keep up with it anyway, but they tell us it's in the number 6 to 7 billion people. If you want to take time and count them, you're welcome to it. But of the almost 7 billion people on earth, that 3.7 billion do not have adequate access to the gospel. Think about it. 3.7 billion do not have adequate access to the gospel. They do not have the gospel in their language. They do not have the technology to get it on sermon audio. They don't have the technology to hear it by radio. They are bush people. They're out there. They're unreached. They do not have adequate access. And they tell us that as things stand right now, with the amount of missionaries, and we're talking about across different denominational lines. I mean, are you saying, preacher, can another denomination? Yeah. Listen. Methodists can win people to Christ. Presbyterian can win people to Christ. Church of God can win people to Christ. I mean, Baptists, you know, blind hog will find an acorn every once in a while. God can even use Baptists. I want you to think about this. 3.7 billion don't have access. And they tell us as things stand right now, with all the different Protestant groups and the many different Baptist groups, and I've got a book that lists all the major denominations, and I counted just among the Baptists, 27 of us. Different types and shapes and sizes. All Baptistic, but vary in different degrees what they believe. 27. With all of those different Protestant groups. Oh, by the way, you probably think, Baptists are not considered Protestant. Protestant is those that came out of the Roman Church, came out of the Catholicism. Thank God for the Luthers and the Calvins and all of them that came out. But there is no record that Baptists came out. We never protested anything. We were preaching the gospel. But of all the Protestant groups and all the different Baptist groups, as it stands right now, that 1.27 billion have never and will never hear the name of Jesus in their lifetime. That means most of those 1.27 billion souls will be born, live, die, and go to hell with never hearing a clear presentation of the gospel. The good news that Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Look at Romans chapter 10 real quick. And I'm going to close with this. Romans chapter 10, verse number 13, very familiar text. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we all say hallelujah. Thank you. I want you to look at verse 14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they what? Be sent. As it is written, that's from the prophet Isaiah, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I said I'm afraid that many churches are doing a lot of good things, which stops the best things. Some people have told me, "Preacher, we'd love to start a mission program, but we just got to pay our we got to pay our mortgage first." Preacher, I'd love to get involved in missions, but you know we need that parking lot paved. We'd love to be a part, but you know what? We really want to start a youth program, and we really want to do. And there's nothing wrong with paying your mortgage. There's nothing wrong. It's all good. Paving your parking lot. I'd love to see ours paved one of these days. Yeah. I wouldn't have to go out there and dig up dandelions. Not in the first two or three years. They'll pop up in the cracks. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a children's program. Nothing wrong with a bus ministry. Nothing wrong with all of, they're all good. But it can be a danger to the best. And the best, Jesus said, "Go ye into all nations and preach the gospel." One of our goals here at New Hope Baptist Church when we started back in 1997, started back in 1995, organized in 1997. One of our very first business meetings after we organized as a church, we took on Brother Ronnie Starr as our very first missionary. We wanted to be established. We wanted to be known that we were a missionary supporting church. And we started supporting one. We took on another. Now we have 19 missionaries. Last year we didn't take on any missionaries. We raised our mission support. We started supporting them at $25 a month, and now ever since we left about $65 a month per missionary, and not 3 cents out of every dollar gets to them like in some missionaries. 100%. If we support them at $65, they get $65. I believe it's the heartbeat of a New Testament church. As our church grows here, I pray that one day we cannot contain them in this four walls. We have to build another building. God's blessed us with that extra property. Our mortgage is paid off. We're not in deep debt. God's been so good to us, New Hope. God has been so good. We have a Christian school ministry. We have radio ministry. We have internet ministry. Some of the best teachers. I don't mean to toot his own horn, but he was here in the Sunday school. I've not sat under a man like Fred Ensign in a long time. I've been in church a long time, coming up on 56 years, that feed my soul and feed us. God has been good to New Hope Baptist Church. We sent out 5 young people. You know what? The last report I got, every one of them is going to church. You know, if a child, a young person gets out of the umbrella of their home and the church, they usually go. But Andrew said, "Oh, Dad, it's not like our church." Praise the Lord. But he said, "It's a day I look forward to be with other brothers and sisters in Christ." Mary, what she wrote back to the boys before they went to basic training, "Go to church. Go to church. You need it." Allison, founder of church. We are blessed. We want to continue to having the blessings of God. So, the Apostle Paul, right into this church, we'll take a better look at it tonight as we finish, or try to finish. I believe he's writing a missionary letter to a church that is already known around the world. You know what? We get, from time to time, we get calls from missionaries. I got one the other day, a missionary going to Indonesia. He said, "Preacher, I'm coming through Alaska, and I heard." I said, "What'd you hear?" He said, "I heard that you love to support missionaries. I'd love to come by your church and tell you about the work that God's called me to do." I said, "Well, I can't promise anything, but you come. Because if you don't come and we take on a missionary, you won't be it. Because I wouldn't know you." I called so many people and said, I want to tell you about a place called Alaska, Southeast Alaska." "Oh, we ain't got time. We ain't got the money. We ain't got the resources." I said, "But if you did, would I be the one that you call and say, 'We want to support you'?" I said, "No, because you've never heard of me." I said, "I just want to come and share my burden. I'm not even asking for a love offering. I'm not even asking to pay my way." We went to one little church, and you know how they paid me, Perry? In Tennessee, by the way. They paid me in potatoes. It's hard to get them in the gas tank. But they did. They paid me in 100 pounds of potatoes. And there's just two of us. Oh, yeah, I took them back. I gave them my brother-in-law, gave them my sister-in-law, gave them my aunt, gave them my uncle. But they were doing the best they could. They were, at that time, they didn't give me no cash. And I really did. I had to make it back across the mountain, and I was almost on empty. But God took care of us. And I believe that God honored it. I believe God blessed that little church because He gave that 100 pounds of potatoes. We can all do something. You know, good news, I don't know where I got this quote, sounds good and I liked it. Good news is only good news when it gets the people in time. Good news is only good news when it gets the people. Billions will never hear the gospel unless we do our part. I can't save them all. We can't reach them all, but we can save a few. We can win a few.